Ted Danson's okay. Ted Danson's name is Edward Bridge Danson. Now I hear what you're saying. Where the fuck does Ted come from? I don't know.
His nickname as a child was Teddy or something like that, and then that just shortened to Ted.
Well, here's the thing. Ted Danson's dad was named, he passed away in 2000, was named Edward Bridge Ned Danson.
And?
So, yeah, I don't... none of this makes any sense because this is an audio medium, but Ted Danson has looked the same since 1990. Nikki.
And I'm Jules.
And this is Tangential, a podcast that we haven't done in about 3 calendar months, but we're back, still going through our internet search histories, still talking about the things that we find interesting, and still just kind of talking to each other for you guys to enjoy. Did you know that we're on Spotify now? We've been off of this, we haven't done this show in so long.
Right when we got on
Spotify. The show got to Spotify. Yeah. We stopped making this show. So the show is on Spotify. So if you're listening on Spotify, yo, if you haven't listened to the show before, which is entirely possible, Jules and I go through our internet search histories and pick out the things that we find the most interesting, and then talk about them for an hour-ish.
What if we wind up on indie jams like Nick Offerman did in that?
Yeah. That hit in Hearts Beat Loud. Hearts Beat Loud. The director of that film, I made a tweet about it. I don't actually remember. Oh, I said Ted Danson is attractive. He's an attractive man. But I said something about how Ted Danson was attractive in that movie. And then the director of the film clearly has search
Time.
Flags on for whenever. Yeah. No, I guess so. Whenever anyone sends Hearts Beat Loud, I guess he gets a notification because he liked my tweet, even though I didn't tag the movie in it. So...
maybe he has a flag for
Jules didn't like
any
it.
Mentions of Ted Danson.
That's also possible, which, I understand. Right? Jules didn't like that movie.
I just didn't like it. I'm sorry. I thought it was... Do we have to get into it? Well, I think it's more interesting that you liked it, because Nikki doesn't like movies. So what was different about this
movie
that made you like it?
It
made you like film as a genre.
It was easy. The emotional
that's
the
why
emotional,
I hated it.
arc of that film. Yeah, I have a dumb brain. The emotional arc of that film, they started happy and then they were sad and then they ended happy and everyone was happy at the end of it, with the direction that their lives went. And I had closure, which is pretty good and a thing that I strive to receive.
I think you find movies to be mentally and emotionally draining, and
yes,
specifically dramas and period dramas are things that take a lot out of people if you invest yourself in a movie in that way. If you don't go into a movie thinking this is a movie, but you treat it more as an immersing experience, which I think everyone should do, but not everyone can go into a movie ready for that, ready to be able to take that emotional toll on their body and on their mind. And I think that this movie, Hearts Beat Loud, I think every moment where this movie could have delved deeper into a daughter-father relationship, specifically concerning, I'm not going to spoil it, you should see it. It is a good movie. I just didn't like it. So I won't spoil. I won't spoil it. But there are specific moments where certain issues should have been addressed, and you felt like they could have been, but they just weren't at all. And
yeah,
then
but a conscious decision was made to not.
I think so. You think so? What we are
interpreting as a conscious decision.
I don't think it was a conscious. I thought it was an oversight. I thought the writer.
It's
and
hard
director,
to talk about this movie without just talking about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should pick this up next week radio. And assume that more people have seen
Sorry,
it.
Sorry,
this is real bad radio. Because this movie didn't even come out everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like an LA, New York thing right now.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten good reviews.
Big city
people
kids.
Seem to like it.
Yeah. People like things is the news is the news for this week. Do you want to start this week, Jules? Because
nope.
I don't remember who started last time. What do you mean, no?
I mean, nope, I don't want to start this week.
So this week, I, in the process of, like, starting a job, I have a job now, which is a thing. But in preparation for that job, I wanted to do the only things that I could do in my last moments as an unemployed person, which is to say binge watch a television program in the span of 48 hours. So I watched The Good Place, which is on NBC. It's got Ted Danson in it and Kristen Bell and a whole host of other funny people. And it approaches the afterlife through the lens of ethics. And I kind of poked around. I like took an ethics class at USF because I had to. Because it's a Jesuit school. So like as part of that education, they're like, it's got to know how to do ethics, which, okay. So I took this ethics class, which was fine. The professor was good. I just couldn't be bothered, because it was at a weird time in the day. It was one of those situations where like I had to go to work and then I had to go to this class and then I had to go back to work. So, like, sometimes I was working through that class because of, like, the time it was. It was a whole thing. Anyway, all of the names that are mentioned in the show, like Plato and Kant, are all names that were in this ethics class because it was an ethics 101 class, which is basically what The Good Place is. It's just, like, fed to you via comedy. So I listened to an interview that Michael Schur, the guy who created this show and is also responsible for Julian's
Parks and Rec, right?
Favorite television program. Yeah, Parks and Rec, and also your favorite show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Nope.
Starring your favorite actor, Andy Samberg.
No.
why don't you like Andrew?
I did, and then I don't want to be mean because you like him.
Jules hated Popstar, and then she watched Popstar, and then after Popstar, Never Stop Stopping, a beautiful film came out, and she watched Andy just
After I watched that film, I decided to reconsider everything that I thought was good of his from the past, and
wow.
I questioned what I found funny, and if I was a funny person, because if that is what I found funny, and if that was the bar or the line for which I considered what comedy was, the bar was pretty low. The bar was pretty low.
Wow.
I said I didn't want to be mean to you, and you made me be mean to you.
But that does mean, though, that it is an important film to you, and that you do still have to kind of thank Andy.
Because he made
for
me
for providing that service for you.
I don't want to say I was forced to mature in my taste of comedy, because that's pretentious and awful.
Uh-huh, but you were forced to mature in your taste in comedy because of Andy. Andy does a lot of work. Gotta give him props.
I don't know.
As a person who was very easily entertained, liked that movie, and I like Andrew.
To me, he's just like at the same level as Adam Sandler or
whoa.
Kevin James.
Whoa. Damn. Wow.
David
that hurts
Spade.
Me.
I think David Spade might be slightly above them just for Emperor's.
Jesus
Nobody,
Christ. But I cannot believe you're saying these words. I cannot believe that you are saying these words to me right now. Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
Adam Sandler's had
anyway,
some good,
the good place.
dramedies, though. Like, I didn't hate Spanglish, Click. And I didn't hate the Meyerowitz story. Wait, is it called the Meyerowitz stories? I think so, the Noah Baumbach film. I think I probably talked
what
about it.
What happens in Click? Is Click the one
We're
with
not
the
talking
remote?
About Click. Go back to the good place. This conversation is ended. Too tangential.
Boom. Anyway, The Good Place is a good show that kind of the question that like I was kind of digging for that I never really was able to answer, which is like kind of a weird way to approach this bit of the conversation, but it is the way I'm going to approach it. It seems like a show that is too smart for NBC, which is to say that it seems like a show that belongs on USA. Like I don't get how it seems so not like NBC to make this show and then let it actually be its own thing for it to have gotten this far. And like that part is the part that confuses me, and that is the part that I like kind of started to dig for, and I started looking at interviews that Michael was doing with like the Hollywood Reporter, and then there was this one interview with this dude who I guess just has a blog named Gold Derby. He's from, I think, New Zealand. Unclear. But basically, like, the things that I was gathering is that Universal and NBC was just like, I mean, you've made a handful of good shows, so I guess we're just going to give you some money and, like, we trust you, which I feel like doesn't happen that much. You know more about television than I do, and I feel like that's not a thing that is common.
There's only certain networks that allow their creators to take full reins of a show. I think FX and FXX are good examples. I mean, they're the same, but FX is a channel and a community that has allowed their artists, their auteurs, to kind of hone their voice, and that's why they hire those directors and those creators, because they know that they're going to bring something authentic and unique to their channel. I've never really sensed that out of NBC. It's definitely not one of
it's
those.
Just so weird. It's like it is too good of a show for it to be on NBC, which I think is weird.
Point made.
Also, I'm pretty sure that show was like a mid-season replacement, and then it switched to like regular season, because it's only seasons are only like 12 or 13 episodes, so it's only runs half length of a normal like sitcom. So I guess I don't know what they're going to do now that they've picked up Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But I guess I'm interested to see what this fall lineup is for NBC, mm-hmm. because they have the two of the best shows on TV right now. So that's The Good Place. Y'all should go watch it. It's on Netflix. The second season is on NBC's website. And it'll be on Netflix soon-ish. Like, I guess around the time this third season starts up. So, like, September-ish, maybe. But in the meantime, you can watch it on NBC's website for free, I think. But you also can log in with a cable login and do it that way. You'll still get ads, though, which is horseshit.
It's really annoying.
It just doesn't make any sense.
To Couch Tuner. I couldn't take it any. I couldn't take it
anymore. Wow. You've admitted that you're stealing.
No, don't tell them. Don't tell him.
It was an almost year-long sting operation, but we finally got her. Jules steals. You already got in trouble with the internet police once. I don't know why you would just, like,
this is not
come
a
out
thing
here and say it on a public podcast.
I'm trying to get employed here.
Well, listen, at least your Twitter account didn't get banned like mine did. Boom. Do you see that segue? Wow. It's like a professional podcaster or something. My Twitter account got banned yesterday because I'm a dumbass. So did you – let's go back in time to the year 2008, July 2008. Your name is Nicholas Grace, and you're a precocious young boy watching G4, that like gaming channel that was coming out of NBC and in the like the early late 90s,
Spike, right?
Early 2000s and like mid 2000s. Yeah, it was like related to Spike. Like Spike, G4 and E are like, we're all in the same office on Wilshire across the street from the tar pits. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a different show, but there's a line that you can track from G4 to Modern Games YouTube. And it's a very interesting story that maybe I'll bring next week. But it, like, there's a very direct line involving very similar people. It's very interesting. Anyway, you're me in 2008, and you're watching the television program Attack of the Show, which was a daily roundup show of, like, online internet nerd culture that, like, looking back, just terrible, just like an awful, very stereotypical, very reinforcing hegemonic ideals of what, like, that genre of man was, because it was a show aimed at dudes. But you're me and you're 12, and you want to get on the tweet wall, because on the Attack of the Show set, there is a, like, a 42-inch TV that is vertical, that is just running tweets. And sometimes Olivia Munn and Kevin Pereira will walk over to that wall before a commercial break and read your tweet out loud on TV. And that's the coolest thing that any human could possibly do. So you start a Twitter account, and then you realize, oh, you have to be 13 years old to start a Twitter account. That's totally fine. You'll just say you were born in 1994. Easy. It's an easy fix. You're 13. You've started a Twitter account. Fast forward 10 years. It is July 4th, 2018. You log into your Twitter account and you see that, oh, it's weird that your birth date is 1994. That's super weird. It's been like that forever. And you're like, oh, I can finally change it. You've tried to change the birth year to 1995. It never let you. But for some reason, you clicked on it and you were actually given, like, the full range of dates. You change your birthday to 1995. It's like, cool, great job. That's your birthday. You click on home and Twitter is like, hey, your account is locked. And you're like, yeah, why? And it's because you weren't 13 when you started your account. So now I'm locked out of my Twitter account, and I had to send Twitter forever a photo of my ID. Which, forever, conceivably, like, honestly, like, I think I might have fucked myself and banned myself from Twitter. Because the recourse was to take a photo of your ID to prove that you were 13 when you started your account, but I wasn't. Like, I was not 13 when I started my account. So, like, I don't know what they're gonna do.
I think you have to write them an apology.
Other than be like... I honestly think that's, like, my actual only recourse, is that they're going to say, they're going to, because I sent the email where, like, I sent the form with my photo, and then they were like, we're getting a lot of requests, so, like, we don't know how long it's going to take. So I feel like they're not going to get back to me until next week. Until then, I won't have Twitter, which is, like, a blessing and a curse. The number of times today that I, like, went to Twitter.com and then I was greeted with your account is locked is an embarrassing number of times. But I think over the course of the next, like, week or so, it will start going away. But I definitely do feel like I know less about what's happening in the world because I didn't have Twitter. Like, I didn't find out that Scott Pruitt, the former head of the EPA, had resigned until, like, 2 hours after it happened. At which point the news was old, and I was like, oh, I don't know anything. And that was kind of weird. But yeah, if you know anybody at Twitter, hit me up.
So he can grovel like a dog, and is that a firework? Oh my God.
Probably. Let's grovel at the feet of Jack, and request that he A, handle the Nazi situation, and B, restore my account, even though I guess I did break the terms of service when I started the account. How's your Twitter experience been since you started a Twitter for this show?
I don't use it. I read tweets sometimes, but I don't really follow anyone. And I don't tweet anything. I don't feel... It's weird because I'm a writer, but...
Yeah.
Twitter isn't really made for writers, I don't think.
Well, I don't know. So Abby Russell, she is like an improv comedian, and she's like a content creator at Giant Bomb. She's like an associate producer. She was like very recently talking on the Beastcast, about the only reason basically that she continues to create things on Twitter is that she tries to get a joke out every single day, and it forces her to be succinct in her comedy writing. Mm-hmm. And she's like, even if the joke isn't great, it does make me use my brain in a way that is trying to get something funny out that is concise and very pointed, which I can see
as a valuable exercise. That's limiting. Like, I get it as a daily exercise, something that you do as a ritual, but to me, I mean, writing should be something you want to do every day, but I've been reading that book, right, that's all about getting yourself to write every day, but I don't know, every self-help book that I've read about being a creative and working on your art makes it seem like it's something that is entirely unenjoyable and only has moments of being something that you know you love. For me, that's not what writing is. It's I know that's how it is for a lot of people, but for me, I don't know. That got completely tangential. Why do I keep on doing that? Don't let me say the name of our show again.
I don't have any drinks. No, I get you.
But I get it. But it's like a daily Sudoku puzzle. I don't know. What is Twitter to you? For me, it's getting information quickly and having a public arena of, or a multitude of voices to back up that information or to deny that information. But for me, I might start at a tweet, but I'm always ending at another article to verify it. It never ends on Twitter for me. So if anything, it's just like a bunch of flags to point me in different directions on the internet.
Which I think is like a very good way to consume that website, because you don't...
I think tons of people just use Twitter, though.
Yes, as like the beginning and end of...
of their search and their research.
Consumption. Yeah.
Which
is weird, which like I get, like Twitter is so deep. Even though there are only 300 million only... there are only 300 million people on it. The spheres of influence on that. Oh, Jules just sent me an image.
The GIF doesn't work. The GIF doesn't work. It's a GIF. It's even better. Many Jacinto.
It's just a still image of, from The Good Place. Okay, anyway, though, like, Twitter. Okay, you've just sent it. I'll put this GIF in the in the doobly-doo. But. What was he saying? Oh, the spheres that exist. What a good. Oh man, he's so
super
attractive. Everyone
now.
On The Good Place is attractive, and I don't know how that's possible. Okay. I was saying something about the spheres on Twitter, like the spheres of influence on Twitter, which is to say that there are bubbles that you can get yourself trapped in, and those bubbles will, give you information and then give you ways to think about that information, but then not actually provide you with any actionable things to do with that information. It's just like, it's a constant, hey, have you seen this thing? Get angry about this thing. Holy shit, have you seen this thing? Get angry about this thing.
Yeah.
And there's no like, there's nothing to do with that information. You're just stuck in that loop constantly. Unless you are very active about doing that. And I think that that is just a culture that is permeating even the wings of Twitter that are trying to do their best to have that not happen. I think it is just endemic to the platform that you feel like you're doing something even though you're not, because there are so many different, you think that there are so many different voices that you're interacting with on a day-to-day, even though you actually might not be interacting with that diverse of a set of people.
I agree.
Because you like make the decision to follow those people. And those people that you follow probably align or have opinions on the world that are basically yours.
I was just going to say, what I find really interesting is just the amount of screenshotted tweets that show up on my Instagram timeline now, and how they're just like a string of tweets when you very easily could have plugged in an article there.
Just gone on Twitter. Yeah.
Or actually plugged in the article that legitimizes the claims and taken screenshots of the article, so it's easier for people to just be on that site and look at, or just use the scroll through feature, what is that feature called where you can see multiple panels on Instagram?
The gallery on Instagram?
Yeah.
The gallery, I think.
You utilize the gallery and maybe piece together the most important parts of that article, but that's not what it's used for at all. Or someone might put a link to the article and no one's going to
do that.
Yeah.
That's like I don't know if you saw. So like
but that overlap is interesting to me.
Yeah, especially because like there are a billion people on Instagram, right? There are 300 million people on Twitter. 700 mm-hmm. million people are not served by that network. So for 70% of Instagram, that information is new, which is the only reason why like joke accounts who like just make their living off of stealing from Twitter,
yeah,
like exist. That's the only reason why it's popular.
Or when celebrities take screenshots of their own tweets and
then post it to
just
Instagram.
Like a huge form of self-gratification in a way that's yeah, continue.
The internet's bad. We should turn it off, is my opinion.
But you love Twitter.
I love Twitter. Twitter's good. Out of the big four social mm-hmm. platforms, if I had to pick one to use forever, it would be Twitter, even though it's terrible. I hate Twitter, but I love Twitter. Remember Snapchat?
No. I open the app once a month to see if people sent me snaps, and they usually do, but then when I ask them about what they sent me, they say I do not remember, and that happens quite oft.
The last thing that I have for this week, we're going to Vegas next week, which and I looked up a list of fun facts about Vegas. I know literally nothing about Vegas other than like gambling is legal there, and it's in the desert, so I looked up a list of fun facts. And this is a very bad list, but the most interesting thing on this list is that there are 300 weddings every single day in Vegas.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. But like a lot to the point where like the novelty, I feel like doesn't actually exist, which raises the question for me, why would you get married in Vegas?
I mean, every sitcom ever has a mid-season episode of the gang going to Vegas. So I think it is a thing still. People are still saying, oh my God, aren't we so much like Ross and Rachel? It's weird.
So much like Ross and Rachel. Another good place joke. Y'all should watch that program.
And if you're having any hesitation watching the show because the previews look kind of hokey and awful, I had the same hesitation. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Yeah, just power through really it. It's really good. It gets you in like 10 minutes. The typeface on the lettering in that show is just so good. That show they film at Universal on the lot.
It looks like Helvetica to me.
No. The Good Place. Yeah, more good radio, y'all. This is not Helvetica. Helvetica doesn't have
No, it's not Helvetica, but it looks like a font that I've used in a previous resume.
Okay, so everyone who's listening to this show, imagine a sans serif font.
Stop.
Well, actually, it is a sans serif. It's a sans serif font on everything but the G. The G has a small serif. Otherwise, the P and O's are very rounded. I'm just gonna put a picture in it and in the description.
No one is clicking
and find
that
the
link.
Name of the font. It's a good font. Jules, what did you do this week?
Yeah, I've just been living my life as a uh-huh. person who has graduated college a couple weeks ago, looking for employment, sending emails. Right. Yeah. It's weird because you guys have been out of school since May. And
yeah.
I'm just getting out now, or I got out at the end of June, so I feel super behind and anxious and...
Which, you feel behind on not knowing what the fuck is happening in your life.
I mean, I definitely have an idea of what I want to happen. It's more of getting that to happen. Yeah, I don't know. I've just... Interestingly enough, I haven't looked up the amount of things I feel like I normally look up in a week. I think when I'm in school and I'm constantly, or when I was in school, and when I was constantly being lectured at by professors, and they would go off on topics that they were interested in, and this, and specifically me, who was in a lot of literature and film and television, or classes that were concerned on those mediums, teachers would give you recommendations and things to look up all the time. So my mind was always stimulated in that way. And I was just constantly looking things up. And I mean, without school, I feel like I still look things up, but not in the same patterns.
The kick isn't there.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm a naturally curious person, but maybe my brain is just resting from graduating.
On account of the fact that you've been going for four years straight. I think that's like a normal thing.
So I guess my search history has been filled with just job searches and Glassdoor kind of reviews of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I've also been binge watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch amongst all of this.
Hell yeah. Preparing yourself for the Riverdale style reboot.
No.
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. No, why aren't you hiding?
Starring
the Chilling
Ross
Adventures
Lynch.
Of Sabrina is a fun comic. Ugh. Chris, I forgot that that was the case. Who's Sabrina?
I guess we can do this. I don't care. I'm not watching.
Oh, wow.
Is it Dove Cameron? Watch it be Dove Cameron. I bet they haven't cast,
yikes.
But it's going to be Dove Cameron.
Her name is Kiernan Shipka.
That sounds like Dove Cameron to me. Wait. Is that the girl from Mad Men? Yeah, that's Sally. She's actually a good Sabrina. I take back.
Oh, she's also Janora. In Korra.
Voice acting is different, but yes. I think she could be good. It is. It's definitely different.
No, yeah, it is. I was just trying to figure out who she was. Janora is one of Aang's kids, I think.
So, yes. Random things about Sabrina the Teenage Witch and about those actors who, I mean, none of them have done much past that show. Melissa Joan Hart did Melissa and Joey.
Excuse me. Melissa Joan Hart had Melissa and Joey, which was an amazing show on ABC.
Well,
Family.
Actually, did you know Sabrina the Teenage Witch started off as a hour-long TV movie? And I think that Melissa Joan Hart was...
What?
14, 15 years old. And then it got picked up to being a television show, but both based off
Weird.
Of...
That's such
of
a
the comic
weird...
strip. Which, if you didn't know, Sabrina the Teenage Witch was based off of a comic strip, just as the Archie comics were. Archie and Sabrina were crossover. They're the same creators, right? I'm not sure about that. But they crossover.
Yeah.
Crossed over.
Yeah, Archie, Sabrina, Sonic the Hedgehog, all in the same universe. That's true. There were also Sonic the Hedgehog Archie comics, and then there was a crossover issue with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Archie, and Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like Sabrina would just treat Sonic like Salem.
Wait,
what would
you,
Archie say to Sonic?
I don't know. Wait, can you tell me more about this hour-long TV special? What story do you tell in that universe that is succinct in an hour?
I mean, I guess just her getting her powers. Did you ever watch Teen Witch?
Yes. That's so weird.
You've never seen the movie Teen Witch?
No.
It's like this 80s movie about this girl.
No.
And she has powers, or she gets powers, and she gets everything she ever wanted. I think she goes to... a concert and meets a pop star and then becomes friends with that pop store star pop store. There's a bunch of 80s antics that happen. It makeovers, boyfriends, the whole nine yards.
it's got everything. Teen Witch came out in 1989. It cost $2.5 million to make, Would you like to guess how much money it made in its first? Would you like to guess how much money it made in its first weekend?
$2.9 million.
Mm. You want to guess one more again?
$1,000.
$27,000.
Wow. What a niche indie film. Yeah. Actually, it is. It's a film with a cult following. There's a lot of weird things in it that make it something that would be counterculture, I think. Like, the woman that introduces her to her powers is this actress that has a really creepy high-pitched voice. Not to be rude to the woman with the high-pitched voice, but it's very good.
Is it Zelda Rubinstein?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I'm looking at the IMDb now. So the idea of, like, the cult classic movie, every time I think about that, literally every single movie I think of it was made between 1980 and 1989. Can you think of a movie that came out in the last 5 years that you would consider a cult classic, or you can see being a cult classic? Hmm. Yeah. Or I guess maybe 10 years. Go back to, like, 2008.
No. Like, the farthest one I can think of is Mean Girls. Yeah, I think I just think of 2000s movies. It hasn't been long enough for it to be a cult classic. How could something be a cult hasn't had time to form. It has to be something that we look back on, us specifically, our
like
year.
We will with Pop Star Never Stop Stopping, in 2039. We'll look back on that film as just truly a work of genius that was underappreciated in its time. I'm trying to look for screenshots of Sabrina.
Oh, you can watch
with Sonic the Hedgehog.
I thought you were talking about the movie. Yeah, it was a.
Is the movie on Netflix?
No, I don't think so. It was a made-for-TV movie. Melissa Joan Hart has a bob. She looks. I think it was on Showtime, actually. And it must have been like 95 or 96. And I think I watched a little bit of it when I was little, and I remember the town being called Riverdale, which is interesting. So they kept to the comics, because Sabrina was supposed to live in Riverdale, but in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the series, they keep very much to the theme of her being in Massachusetts. And just keeping with the idea of witches and, like, the Salem witch trials, they stay they're very cheeky with those kinds of references. But it was probably shot in Canada anyway.
No Sonic the Hedgehog in the show, though.
No, it wasn't.
You can make Vancouver look like any city. That's the magic of Vancouver.
Yeah, it's a magical place.
It's a magical place. Vancouver's very good. I love Vancouver. Yeah, so Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and then anything else exciting?
I mean, I've been looking up places to rent homes, and...
Yeah, same. Find anywhere cool for us to live?
No. Wow. I'm just scrolling through my history right now. Oh.
Yeah, I'm also going to go scroll through and see if... Oh. Found something.
I guess I looked up Parents Denied Parent Plus Loan, what to do. I don't think that was me. I think that was Kalina, because I know what to do. Because I went through that multiple times. Let's see.
Can't wait to pay the government back.
Yeah. I got 5 more months.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, I looked up if Andrew Rannells was in Avenue Q, because it sounded like him.
Is he?
There's this song called...
Avenue Q?
What to do with a BA in English, / It Sucks to Be Me, which Kalina thought was a hilarious joke to play 24/7 every day after I graduated. And I was like, that sounds like Andrew Rannells, is it? And she was like, yeah. And then I looked it up, and it wasn't him. much for her encyclopedic Thanks, knowledge of show tunes and Broadway hits.
In the 3 months since we last did this show, I got really into K-pop, but I don't know anything. I don't know enough about it to talk about it at length, so I'll talk about it next week. Yeah, just a lot of job applications.
Yeah. This podcast is supposed to be a safe place, though, so I don't want to trigger people into thinking about their own lives.
Well, but they probably have jobs.
You think? We don't know what our age demographic is at all.
Yeah, that's the only thing that Simplecast doesn't give us is how old the people
how
listening are.
How would Simplecast know?
Google and... that's what, yeah, exactly, because Google and Apple don't ask how old people are, even though they definitely have that information.
Mm-hmm.
It's not shared.
Jaden showed me this YouTube video of this guy testing the idea that Google is listening perpetually, and your microphone is turned on for, you know, that meme, your FBI agent, or... Well, yeah, so the guy did this test. He put up dog toys. He wrote out dog toys on a piece of paper and told his subscribers or his viewers that he would be talking about this in the future. But right now, we just knew what the subject was. I don't think he was testing webcam capabilities or those kinds of privacy issues. But he showed it to us, and then he said there was nothing in his search history to ever suggest that he had one of these. And then for 3 minutes straight, he just talked about dogs. He never said dog toys. He was just talking about dogs and how he wanted to get a dog. And then he went to a site with random sites and clicked a site and...
Stumble Upon. Remember Stumble Upon?
It was something similar to that. And lo and behold, right on the left-hand side, ads for dog toys. Yeah.
Here's my thing about that. I don't care.
You don't?
If Google can listen to my microphone, nah. I have a Google microphone in my house. Hey, Google.
Mm-hmm.
What time is it? 10:48. I don't care. I don't think I care, because like they're already listed. Like it already is going to the government at like it in some form, in some version. If I can like make use of that information, then I would like to. Like if I can capitalize on the fact that they're already listening to this or like already capturing that data.
No, but do you understand that form of consumer, like maybe you didn't want to buy those dog toys, but after seeing those ads page by page and not even recognizing that you're seeing them on every page, it's just something put into your subconscious.
Buy
the toy. It's not healthy and it's not good for us to consume on that
level. I'm not saying it's good or healthy literally at all.
But you said
all.
You don't
it's
care.
It's very bad. But I don't care. It's so great to just be able to yell, hey, Google, and then have the microphone and speaker in my room do
I don't
a
know.
Thing.
It's a Black Mirror episode that I'm not prepared for. Oh, thanks, Google. So creepy.
Do you want to talk? I kind of want to talk about TanaCon just as a fun close, but I actually don't know.
Neither do I.
Because I haven't finished watching
Shane's
expose.
Neither have I. I don't want to give inaccurate information about the scandal because it is a scandal to be held.
Oh, yeah, because we'll definitely get it is. And Shane Dawson, the true arbiter of truth.
His Pulitzer's in the mail. The journalistic.
Yeah, just go on YouTube. Definitely not at all manipulative in the editing style. No, definitely not. Just go on YouTube, type in Shane Dawson, TanaCon, plop down in front of your computer for an hour and a half. Have fun out there.
Just set
watching the story.
Just
of
set
what it's
the
like
video
to be
speed
in 2018.
To 1.5. You won't miss anything. You won't.
Yeah, you won't. Oh, don't worry. I won't tweet about any of the stuff that I'm working on. Don't you worry.
On the platform that you forced me to be
from
on
Twitter
my entire time at work.
Speaking of Twitter, you can find me on Twitter when I am unbanned, hopefully, at Godsua. You can find Jules on Twitter at JS Klemek. You can find the show on Twitter at tangential_. You can find the show, the episodes, and the descriptions that we write for said episodes at tangential.xyz. You can also find this show on, and this is going to be a long list, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which is now a different thing. It's not a Google. It's not called Google Play anymore. It's called Google Podcasts now. It's like a different app and everything. So Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Where else? I actually think that might be it. It might be three now. Pocket Casts. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find this show. Tell your friends. Tell your family. I feel like there's another thing that I say, but we haven't done the show in a while, so I don't remember. Anything else we say?
We'll fix it next week.
No, Jules, I'll fix it now in real time. Well, while I'm editing it, I forgot to say thank you to Louis Zong for letting us use our theme song Black Rear Jam off of the album Jam 2. You can find Louis' beautiful music at louiszong.bandcamp.com, and you can just kind of like look in the description. There's a link there. Support him. He's great. He's doing great stuff. All right, back to the recorded bit of the podcast that we did yesterday. All right. It's so hot, everyone. Stay cool. If you're in America, all of America is hot right now. Mm-hmm. If you're in the U.S., stay cool. New York is on fire. California, like L.A. is about to be on fire starting in like 2 or 3 hours, definitely. So get hype for the summer. Stay cool for the summer, as Demi Lovato would say.
3 years ago.
Yeah,
that song came out 3 years ago. That song was about
having sex. It was the song for SummerSlam 3 years ago.
Cool for the summer.
Cool for the summer. It's about having sex.
What a great way to end the show, Nikki.
Bye.
Bye.